Hi, I'm Steve Dace. So if you're looking for a summer worldview camp, this is the place to be. July 16th through the 20th, we're going to encourage your kids to become the next generation of cultural leaders. We've got pastors like Douglas Wilson, filmmakers, cultural critics and commentators like myself and Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire. Sign up at calledconference.ninja. Again, Moscow, Idaho, July 16th through the 20th, calledconference.ninja.
Chapter 7 of The Case for Classical Christian Education is entitled, What is Education? Now, in a book on education, you might wonder at me asking that question at chapter 7 and not chapter 1, but there was probably a reason I had for doing it this way. Religious claims are always total. Religious claims are always total, all-encompassing. If Christ is not the Lord of all, then he is not the Lord at all. To claim that a particular religious dogma is not total is tantamount to the claim that it is not really religious. In short, such limitations are always a denial of the faith in principle, and they make room for another claim from another faith. This other claim is truly religious and can be identified as such because the claim is total. So one of the great problems that evangelicals in North America have had is they have settled for proclaiming the lordship of Jesus Christ in partial ways. Either he's the Lord of their heart, or he's the Lord of Sunday, or he's the Lord of their church, or the Lord of their denomination. But they don't see him as the Lord of math, the Lord of history, the Lord of biology, the Lord of PE, the Lord of the lunch hour. They don't see him as Lord of all. They don't see him as Lord of heaven and earth. And so we have accepted the secular myth or the secular description of our society as this... not a melting pot. In the old days, they talked about a melting pot. Today, it's more like a tossed salad. And you've got all these elements thrown into the bowl. And as I say here, we see our pluralistic society as a great tossed salad. And they see themselves as simply one small evangelical crouton. So I don't have any authority over the salad as a whole. I'm just here doing my part, representing my bit. But the larger narrative is up to someone else. But as confessional Christians, as believing Christians, as Christians with an optimistic eschatology, we have to confess that Jesus is the Lord of everything. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of believers and unbelievers. He's the Lord of the United States, the Lord of China, the Lord of Thailand, the Lord of Brazil. He's the Lord of all. He purchased all the nations with his blood. But partial Christians, although they wouldn't ever state it so baldly, I say, they appear to have quietly translated the Great Commission into something like, therefore go unto all nations and do your best to fit right in, supplementing their perspectives with your perspective. But, of course, that's not what he said. We don't supplement their perspective with our perspective. What we are called to do is disciple the nations. So Jesus says, all authority, not most authority, not some authority, not a little bit of authority, but he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go, which means the therefore is important. If you see a therefore, what's it there for? Therefore go. Why should we go? Well, because all authority belongs to Jesus. And what are we to do when we go? We're to disciple the nations. We are to baptize them. We're to teach them obedience to everything Christ taught. And that means that we're not done until all the nations are discipled. So we are not supposed to go out and fit into a multicultural arrangement. We are to proclaim the crown rights of King Jesus. Now that means that our faith in Christ is supreme. Christ is supreme over all. And whatever multiculturalism results, it will be a decidedly Trinitarian and Christian form of multiculturalism. A page or so later, I say this about the task of education. God is our life. In him we live and move and have our being. If he had not created the world, we would not be here, and hence could not do our math. If he had not created the world, there would be no oranges, and hence we would not discover that two oranges plus two oranges make four of them. The fact that the scriptures are at the center of all Christian education does not mean that the students and teacher walk around the classroom 2 inches above the floor with a strange luminosity surrounding their heads. It means that the students are learning how to present their bodies, brains and all, math puzzles in them and everything, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Such an approach to education is surprisingly earthy, and yet the earthiness is not pointless, as it is in a secularist context. So Paul says in Corinthians that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Do your math problems to the glory of God. Erase the board to the glory of God. Run around on the playground to the glory of God. And the task of the teachers is to equip the students to learn how to do that. How do we relate our faith in Christ to absolutely everything? That's what the task of education is. How do we relate our faith in Christ to everything? I'm talking about this, I'm urging this in the context of classical Christian education, obviously, but there's a form of classical education that I think misses the boat. I say this: those who have participated in quote-unquote great books conversations inspired by this approach to modern classicism know that few things can wreck the intellectual party more quickly than a claim of absolute truth, goodness, or beauty. The student is equipped for anything the great conversation might bring to him, except for one thing: answers. To travel, hopefully, is better than to arrive. Well, that's not the thirst is given to us by God so that we may quench that thirst. We're thirsty so that we may drink. We're hungry so that we may eat. We have intellectual curiosity. God has put eternity in our hearts. We have that intellectual curiosity because there are answers. And it's important for us to acknowledge that there are answers, and it's important for us to not be content until we have found them. Cornelius Van Til is a theologian who has cogently dealt with the impossibility of neutrality. And I think that we need to apply a number of his insights to the task of education. And I say this: Van Til is not urging the physical destruction of non-Christians. Note his quote, "spiritual weapons only and always," close quote. But he does see the task of the Christian educator as one of constant total war, theological war, spiritual war. Every thought must be made captive to Christ. A Christian school is not the place where we complete this task, but it is the place where we teach our children that spiritual warfare is the task. A Christian school is not a finishing school for Christians. We don't send people there to give them that final buff and polish. Christian schools are boot camp. They are the place where the student is trained, oriented, given a basic grasp of his weapons, given an outline of the battlefield and what his task is going to be. And then he goes out into the world, and he does his fighting out there. So a Christian education, K through 12, is an equipping education. It is one that prepares the way. I say this again: rightly understood, this is the true salt and light argument. Before we can win the children of this world, we have to stop losing our children to that world. And as we teach them their identity in Christ in such a way that they embrace that identity and the terms of the covenant that define it, they will provide the kind of contrast with our postmodern culture's lost children that will make the evangelism truly potent. Before we can invite non-believers to participate in our believing culture, we have to have one. We cannot invite them into our believing culture until there is a believing culture. People oftentimes talk about culture wars, but in order to have a culture war, you have to have a culture. You can't have naval warfare without ships, and you can't have tank warfare without tanks. How can you have a culture war without two rival cultures? In order for Christians to have a culture war, they have to have a culture. And that is impossible. That's not going to be possible to build or establish without Christian schools that are self-conscious about what their task as educators actually is.
I'm a 2009 graduate of New St. Andrews College, and I'm a commercial property manager.
Three kids at Logos, one at home still, and I do flowers on the side out of our house. When you have these little people that you're responsible to shepherd, you realize I need to know what I'm talking about because they need to have a firm foundation and they need deep roots so that they don't get blown over and that they're ready to stand up for the truth.
I am a programmer. The language aspect of NSA is a fantastic preparation for any sort of programming.
I'm a real estate broker here in town. I think absolutely the perfect education for being in sales of really any kind.
I actually put it to a lot of great use when I was working in the political realm.
I am a pastor in Central Coast, California. Whatever vocation you take, it'll make you take that seriously because you're seeing it through the lens of the sovereignty and lordship of Christ.
For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.